The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Rabbi Daniel Lavin reveals practical, time-tested biblical principles that can increase your potential for creating wealth.
This is you and me. This is ordinary people learning to operate the way God wants us to operate. This is not sitting around doing nothing and saying, God, please give me money. That the goal is not money. The goal is serving other people. Money is the automatic consequence.
Thou shall prosper. Next.
I want to welcome you to a very special Life Today. You see, we have been praying very specifically. I know you've heard me say many times, because you watch us touching suffering people all over the world, as well as hearing the most interesting guests and testimonies, and hopefully what Betty and I share is inspirational and meaningful. You tell us it is, and it's obvious, because you identify with what's on our heart that God put there, what's actually on His heart, and you help us extend His hands. I've said that many times. Express His heart by extending His hands. But many, many people all over the world have said, James, there's some economic uncertainty. And we feel it. We feel the challenge. Some of our family does. And we really want you to pray for us. Well, as we prayed, and we have, we've taken it very seriously. And anytime you call that number that's paid for by love, by somebody like you who says, I want there to be a prayer line where serious people will focus on specific needs and pray with and for people. So it's there. Some are already calling it now, even while I'm talking to you, because they need a specific prayer answered. But in answering your prayers and your requests, we ask God to show us how we might be able to put something not only in your heart, but in your hands, that could go to your heart, to your mind, and really give you some stability and security and some direction. So we put together a series teaching how to address certain financial challenges and concerns, how to get divine direction when you face serious challenges. More than enough was the result of that. God says, through Paul to the Corinthian Christians, I will give you not only enough to meet your needs, if you become a person involved in the ministry of giving, living, giving, giving, living, releasing the river. Jesus said, rivers of life flow out of you, rivers of love. Meet the needs of others. Assist the suffering, the downtrodden, the widows, the orphans. Care for the helpless, the homeless, the hungry, the thirsty. And we're able to do that. And that is precisely what we do together. But many of you said, James, we need help. So we found the teaching where God says He'll not only meet your needs, but He'll give you more than enough so you can meet the needs of others. We brought together the most gifted teachers on finances, many of them who've been our guests, and we put all these resources together in the series More Than Enough, as well as making available to you some incredible books that'll give you insight from the book, the Word of God, but where you'll know how to apply it. And you're going to be hearing from these gifted individuals and learn about more than enough. Now I want you to hear one of the most enjoyable guests Betty and I have ever talked to. Now, this is a Jewish rabbi. And if anybody understands financial management and how to be blessed when it comes to resources, and I'm telling you what he shares from the Word of God and in his book about prosperity, you don't want to miss this. Let's join the program Betty and I did with Rabbi Lappin. Would you welcome Rabbi Lappin to our show? And Rabbi, good to see you. Rabbi, I'm glad to see you. I want you to just take off with some of these Ten Commandments. You literally say these are the Ten Commandments for making money, for right. having prosperity, which is more than just stuff. It's real life.
And you put your finger on it when you said, look, you know, we could read books by Bill Gates, and we could read books by Donald Trump, and we could read books by
Buffett,
exactly. It doesn't help me because I'm not as smart as Bill Gates. And I don't have the capital of Buffett. And my dad didn't leave me 3,000 apartments in New York like Donald Trump. It doesn't help me. But what does help me is to study what millions of ordinary people have done. Millions of ordinary Jewish individuals have done through hundreds and hundreds of years, even in countries with oppression. I mean, you'd have to be a blind immigrant from out of Mongolia not to know that Jews are disproportionately good with money, right? Now, I'm allowed to say, don't you say that,
because everyone will
be on top of you.
Trying to help us all out.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say that because I'm an Orthodox Jewish rabbi.
I got you.
Right, but the point is, what is the reason? Obviously, they're poor Jews, but, you know, demographically, there ought to be 8 or 9 Jews on the Forbes 400 list. In fact, we have about 100 every year. There's a reason for that, and that's not because you have to have chicken soup or you've got to be circumcised or anything like that. It's because there are thousands of principles and tips and tools and techniques and timeless truths embedded throughout Scripture and all of ancient Jewish wisdom, which I felt somebody needed to condense, somebody needed to reduce into a manageable. Now, it's not an easy book, right? There's a lot of material. You're not going to read it on Monday and make more money on Tuesday. But if you read it and study it over the next month, this year will be a better year for you than last year, no question about it. That's what we're talking about. Now, specifically, where do we start? And you made the point in our conversations of, you know, is this only for people of a certain age or people who have certain talents? No, that's the whole point. This is not for the computer whizzes or anybody else. This is you and me. This is ordinary people learning to operate the way God wants us to operate. This is not sitting around doing nothing and saying, God, please give me money, because I don't think God responds to that. God says, I've told you what I want you to do. I want you to care for other people. I want you to be obsessively preoccupied with other people's needs. And above all, I don't want you to think that your virtue is compromised because you're going to make a profit of taking care of other people. And so learn that the word is not what you want. The word is service. One of the worst pieces of advice they ever give to young people leaving school is, I don't know what I'm going to do. No problem. Find out what you're passionate about and go and do that. Look, as an employer, somebody comes to me and says, let me tell you, I want a job with you. Why don't I start off telling you what I'm passionate about? No, I don't want to hear what you're passionate about. I don't actually care what you're passionate about. I have a business to run. I only have one question, and that is, can you help me? Why don't people get that? I have watched job interviews where the applicant walks in and starts off 3 minutes into the conversation. Excuse me, could I find out what are the benefits? What are the vacation days? Well, that's a fine message you're sending me. The message is, you're not working for me ever. That's for sure. There's a right way to ask for a raise. There's a right way to do it. You start off with gratitude. We learn this from Scripture. How do we ask God for anything when we pray? We start off with appreciation and praise. If you're already working somewhere, you've benefited from that company. You need to go in and you need to talk about how much you appreciate the company. And then you need to go in and talk about ways in which you can be of added service to the company. That's the word, service. What you can. There are right and wrong ways to ask for a raise. Most people do it wrong. Starting a business. There's no reason why anybody can't start a business on the side. You don't have to quit your job. All you've got to do is sit down either with yourself or with your CEO, who's your spouse, or your board of directors, who might be your family, and sit down and have a serious brainstorming session of what is needed. What do people miss? What could people's lives be improved by the things you do? So that's step number one, is recognizing that the goal is not money. The goal is serving other people. Money is the automatic consequence. The love of money gets you on the wrong track. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do business with you if all you're interested in is my money.
See, I have had, from the time I actually was called to preach, it's obvious that it seemed like I had a gift to communicate. If you think the business world didn't recognize that and come to get that gift, to utilize it, there's no question about it. But here's what I did, because I was called to do something God called me to do. But I opted out of Social Security when I was 18, so I didn't make any plans for retirement. But let me just say this. Up in my 50s, then an advisor said, you need to do some things. And I began to say, well, I've heard and learned some things. And somebody told me, well, you know, a good investment is something that'll never be anything ever made like that again. So I kind of thought there might be, without high speculation, land and some other things. I began to make some good decisions. But let me tell you what really worked. And it's a real, really a re-emphasis of what you said. I began to try to find people that I could simply offer something to with no thought at the moment of what it might do for me, but what I could do for them.
Exactly.
It's amazing
right.
how attracted they were to the counsel
yes.
or the advice. I even found some that I would give them advice with a legitimate interest in the service they wanted to offer or the job they wanted to accomplish. Now, Rabbi, this was an amazing thing to see. There was some, and I can think of one in particular, who said, you helped me so much. I mean, you so revolutionized my ability to help others, to do something meaningful, to make a literal difference on planet Earth
Absolutely.
In people's lives for the good, that I want to actually compensate you. So, frankly, they've compensated Betty and me for simply the counsel and the advice that impacted, and frankly, it's yes. impacted hundreds of thousands of people. Now, is that not what you're talking about?
What I'm saying exactly is, look, what I'm
I wasn't looking
about.
For a job per se.
Yes.
I mean, I had the job, but I realized I didn't trust Social Security, and that means we're going to have to start looking in the future, not those of you that have been expecting, and I'm going to fight to find a way to be sure you get what you expect, but also to encourage we begin to reorganize programs that are not working.
Yes, that's
You can't
right.
keep doing business the way we're doing it right now as a nation.
Obviously
you agree with
not.
That?
Obviously,
we've
yes.
got to make correction, and we've got to sit down and reason together, and all of us pull together. My point is, I began to offer the very service you're talking about and found an immediate connectedness,
yes.
which that's one of your commandments, not
Absolutely.
Connections, but connectedness where we for the benefit of one another. Take off on something
well,
else.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that is certainly
I'm just,
correct.
I'm excited
and
about what you're saying.
And I'm excited at your excitement because because it's so terrific to be with people who get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so obvious. It shouldn't be necessary to have to prove, but the one of the ways of proving that these Judeo-Christian principles that emerge from Scripture are absolutely the way to build wealth is a very simple fact. And I've discussed this with world-renowned economists at various conferences I've spoken at, and nobody has been able to or would dispute this. No capital market has ever grown indigenously in a non-Christian society. So there's a stock exchange in Singapore now, there's a stock exchange in Nigeria. Sure, that's true. But these were all emulations of a capital system that grew up in the West, and the West was a child of the Bible.
Hmm.
And that's a very important
Which
point.
Which means each one of us, as children of God, as people God created, whether you've trusted Him or not, for heaven's sake, trust the laws that are as certain and absolute as gravity. The weight of God's truth will keep everything in proper place and proper alignment. The standard of God is the proper measure of everything, and we need to be plowing toward that standard. It is the Judeo-Christian principles and ethics. We need to get back to building on that, regardless of what you believe. If it's a solid foundation, if you're going to rise above the law of gravity, you put another law of aerodynamics.
Takes energy. Yes,
if you
exactly.
don't do it and you don't put that in effect,
yeah.
you're coming down. And
Absolutely.
We are violating the principles in the Word of God. We're violating the very principles upon which this nation was built to be the most prosperous ever, and I'm telling you, we've got to get back to it. I want to be a
well,
part of leading people back
and we,
into
we're
the
doing
light of that
truth. And you're doing that through your wonderful books, the books the two of you have written together, and you're doing it through this show. And I think by making Thou Shalt Prosper available to people who help you're helping people get past this.
Betty, you jump into the mix. You want to ask the rabbi something. I mean, I know you always say, I'm a great listener. I like to hear what's been said. What are you prompted to ask?
Yeah, and you talking about prospering. To me, that takes in so much more than the money side of it.
Yes.
But it's prospering in our relationship with God.
Yes.
And if anyone has, if you're a parent or a grandparent, I know it was James and our heart. We have three children and 11 grandchildren. And it's our desire that they all prosper.
Of course.
I mean, we look at their whole character, their gifts that God has given them. We want them to prosper in life, and that includes financially.
Yes.
We want them, but why? Because sometimes I get concerned, Rabbi, that we're being taught to just take instead of give?
Well, this is exactly the point. And I, with audiences, I sometimes like saying, hands up everybody who wants to make more money. And everybody starts sliding under their seats, you know, and everyone's embarrassed to put their... Why?
Yeah.
Think about this for a moment. I say to everybody, all right, take out a dollar and hold it up. And then I have to reassure them, there's not going to be a collection. This is not a, it's not an offering. I just want to do a demonstration. Okay, fine, now they take the dollars out. And I fool them at the end. I ask them to pass them all up to the front. But, what I'm saying is, if you stole that money, if you robbed somebody to get that money, put it away. You know, if you defrauded somebody, put it away. If you mugged a little old lady and took her pocketbook and that's how you got the dollar bill, put it away. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see it. Now that's... All the dollars are still up in the air. I've got news for you. There's only one way you got that dollar. You pleased another human being enough to give it to you. I don't know if it was your boss. I don't know if it was a customer. I don't know if it was a client. I don't know if it was a relative. But somebody voluntarily put it in your hand because of something you did for them. How can God not smile at that? Mm-hmm. And money is a very important thing. It's important to recognize that money is spiritual, not physical. People get shocked by that sometimes. But as long as you think money is physical... then you want to sort of clutch onto it, which is exactly the wrong strategy, because you can't invest if you're holding onto it. You can't take business risks if you're holding onto it. You've got to recognize that it's like a tune. You can't hold onto a tune. You share a tune, you make a more musical world. Money is not like a saxophone. It's not like a violin. It's like a song. It's like a tune. And you've got to recognize that it's not little discs of metal in your pocket or strips of colored paper in your wallet or a brown magnetic strip on the back of your credit card. That's not what money is. Those are just symbols of money. But money is a spiritual measure of what you have done for other human beings. And when you recognize that, you feel much more comfortable about telling your worth. I notice how embarrassed people sometimes are. When they do something for you and you say, how much do I owe you? Well, just tell me. I'm happy.
Yeah. We've made money an object of scorn.
Yes, we
have. I mean, we understand filthy lucre. We understand that people can literally be consumed by it to the point that they can't even see. They're blinded by what they have. But the money is not the problem. There's something going on in the heart. But the real inappropriate attitude toward money, which the rabbi is pointing out, this attitude is though money in itself is terrible or prosperity. I mean, I'm telling you, if Jesus said to us, and by the way, he had strong words for the person who buried their money and hid it and didn't use the talent to invest and reproduce and multiply. And he talked about that ways, but he said the greatest on earth, this is our Savior, Jesus. He said the greatest on earth is servant. And you're saying as a rabbi, from your perspective, looking at it biblically, looking at the Old Testament, looking at the blessings of God on the Jewish people, when they walked in accordance with those commands, you know the problems when we don't, but you said servanthood, service, providing a service.
Focus on taking care of other people. And remember, money didn't come into being while God's attention was distracted. And then all of a sudden he looked back and he said, oh, what have they done? Money, whoa. You know, I mean, no, money is part of God's plan for human economic interaction.
You know, I really do enjoy listening to the people that have blessed us when we talk and bless our viewers. And they have a track record everywhere they go of impacting lives in such a way that it many times totally transforms the people who listen or observe or become a part of what they're doing or what they're sharing, and they receive it. And we really feel like we've been called to not only be a blessing, but to share blessings and to share people who are blessed. And we do it for the purpose of blessing the viewer so that you, in turn, bless others. I mean, this is not inconsistent with the very creative purpose of God, who, when he created Adam and Eve, said, be fruitful and multiply. And that fruitfulness meant more than having children, because he said, you're going to oversee everything I've put under your watch care. You're going to be the stewards of everything I've entrusted to your oversight. And I'm going to give you divine direction. And I'm going to enable you not only to experience the blessings of my divine guidance, my wisdom, my counsel, don't set it aside, receive it. When you receive it and you're blessed, you're going to be a blessing to others. He said, I want you to be a nation of people so blessed, a family of people so blessed, that you bless the families and the nations of the world. and the nations whose God is the Lord, who bless the Lord and who are blessed by God, they bless others. Plain and simple. It's just the facts. So no matter how great the challenges, and I've referenced Psalm 112, you might just go there and read it, because God says He will bless the generous, bless those that are compassionate. Well, as we listen to the prayer requests of people like you and other viewers, sometimes for family members or friends or neighbors, sometimes yourself, say, we feel challenges right now. Well, we put together the series More Than Enough, because God says, when you allow me to direct, I'm not only going to meet your need. Remember, Paul said to the Philippians, my God, the God I know personally, will meet all of your needs, all of them, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to take care of you. But Paul also said, we're blessed to bless, to be generous. I want you to see the insights and direction that God has led us, literally, to share with you from some of our guests who talked about specific areas of concern. And we put all the teachings together in More Than Enough. All of the different teachers on the CDs, and in the CD package it comes is the book that I wrote some time ago, True Prosperity. Prosperity is oftentimes only defined as monetary, material wealth and gain. It's so much more than that. It doesn't limit that. As a matter of fact, it enhances that. But it's more than that. It's living with what money cannot buy or provide. And this will be sent to all of you who just simply say, James, we want to be blessed. We want God's direction. But at the same time, we understand being blessed as being a blessing. And here's what we're asking you to do right now. We're asking you to help provide. And the missionaries have brought this urgent request. And they feel the pressure of economic pressure from various countries. And they say, you know, we need some more help. And we do our best to provide that. But what's happening in areas where there's famine and hardship, the malnutrition is so great that you've got to establish clinics to provide emergency nutritional feeding. That's hands-on intravenous feeding, powdered milk, sugar and water, all that those children need, the majority of whom die before they ever reach the age of five. The missionaries have told us we need 400,000 of these feedings right now. Sometimes it only takes a matter of days to begin to turn it around, a matter of weeks to turn it around to where a child can then be strong enough to take stronger nutritional products like the porridge or the soup mixes. But we need that emergency feeding. And you know, when we close the year every year and we begin a new year, we trust God for a great outpouring of love and support to support the outreaches of life. Year-end gifts, New Year's gifts. We really need that help, but we need this emergency feeding too. You make a gift, we're going to send you the teaching series, the CDs. If you make a gift of over $100, which will provide 200 of those meals, you may be able to give 1,000 or more. You may be able to make a great gift. We want to send you several books like the one by Rabbi Lapping on the Old Testament teachings on prosperity and how God blesses His people, what the Jewish people learn, and it obviously works. The other books that we have that will be such a blessing to you. We want to bless you so you experience more than enough. We thank you for helping us save the lives of children in desperate need right now. Thank you for helping us share life. You're going to be blessed in your life. Make that call. Make the gift God puts on your heart, and we'll share the gift of life and love and give you the resources that are going to be an answer to your own prayer needs and somebody you know who may desperately need these resources as much as those children need the nutritional feeding.
In recent weeks, we've seen more and more young children under the age of five coming to our life centers, clinics, and feeding stations. Most are severely malnourished, requiring special care to properly feed them. Mortality rates are quickly on the rise, and it's a need that certainly cannot be ignored.
With your help, we can provide an additional 400,000 emergency nutritional feedings that are specially formulated for children under 5, including powdered milk and intravenous feedings. At a cost of 50 cents per meal, your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help provide 50, 100, or 200 emergency nutritional feedings. With your gift, we'll send you More Than Enough, a new dynamic 8-part audio teaching series that will show you God's plan for your financial peace and provision. Also included is James Robison's insightful book, True Prosperity. With your gift of $100 or more to help provide 200 emergency feedings, you may also request these dynamic books, Thou Shall Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lappin, Money, Greed, and God by author Jay Richards, and Who Switched Off Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide 2,000 emergency feedings, and you may also request the Back by Popular Demand as the Deer bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
There are different levels of malnourishment I see in the children here. 20% are malnourished. 10% are severely malnourished. Children under the age of 5 have a weaker immune system, so when they suffer with malnutrition, it increases the chances of them dying.
James and Betty, I'm in Central America right now with the mission team, and we visited a clinic today and talked to a doctor who basically just reached out to us asking and saying that he so desperately does need emergency nutritional feeding program at his clinic. And what he is experiencing is much like clinics around the world where we're ministering. So I'm bringing the plea of doctors like the good doctor here and other doctors and other clinics that we're wanting to support with our emergency nutritional feeding program. So please reach into your heart and make the best gift you can when you go to the phone or go online and help us fight the good fight for these precious children under the age of 5 who so desperately need this emergency nutritional feeding.
You know, I really do hope you'll let us send you the material and consider making a gift and request that beautiful bronze as the deer panteth. Many of our viewers said, could you bring that back? We didn't get it. We'd like to have it. We're asking you for a gift of $1,000 or more. Some of you do so much more than that as a year-end gift or begin the new year gift. And we really thank you for that. We are excited to send you More Than Enough because I can promise you, God has more than enough for every one of us if we just let Him direct our steps. That's the reason we're providing the inspirational insights and instruction from the Word of God according to the will of God that'll bless you in your life. And we thank you for helping us literally save the lives of precious children.
Tomorrow on Life Today, James and Betty encourage us to walk in financial peace, provision, and prosperity, and truly experience more than enough. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.